101, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. This is hour two of the cooking show here on Aboriginal Voices.
Yeah, we had some fun. We had trouble getting back from the, we couldn't run back to from the fire pit there.
Neither one of us can really run anymore.
Well, you know what I mean. We couldn't move fast, especially with those hot salmon croquette and your hot baked potatoes.
Yeah, hot potato. You
know, that brought to mind the thought about hot potato, one potato, two potato, and look out. Toss the hot potato. But anyway, so we had Cody Coyote on there with a song called Revolution. But I've got a couple of other things for you tonight that if you you would like to listen a little bit later on, probably the last 40 minutes or so. We've got a couple of new songs, and also we're going to have a guest, two guests, actually. We're going to go do...
We have a guest?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Kristen Buckley is going to talk a bit about, you know, it's interesting. It's about outdoor land-based learning. I don't know what, it's not operating for me here. Why not?
I don't know.
What did you do to the system? Man.
Touched it.
There we go.
I have that effect.
Okay, so it's called Place-Based Learning, and it's in conjunction with some of the other conversations we've had over the last couple of years with land-based learning, and so she's going to give us a little bit of information about place-based learning, and following that, I'm going to do a rebroadcast of... Robin Kimmerer talking about the forest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it's a tribute to Kristen as well, in that Kristen has talked to me a fair bit about, you know, going out in the forest, the importance of a forest and the trees and recognizing the trees, but also, I guess some of the themes you have is forest bathing, but you and I have done that, gone out, you go camping, you know how you feel?
Feel
relaxed.
Like going home.
I noticed you looked at me. But
you know what?
Yeah.
When I go camping, I am counting the moments.
Yeah.
Until I can go home.
Oh no! I thought you were going to say the moments. How many wonderful moments you had this trail or that river's edge?
Well, maybe not the trails, but.
Yeah.
It's, you know, okay, this is okay.
And then when you get to the end?
When I get to the
car.
I'm
out of here.
I'm there's elation in the air.
I like that. That's a great attitude. Yeah. I have it too, but.
Yeah, I got me one of them thesauruses.
New word every day.
Yeah.
No, but I also know that you like the outdoors because I've seen some photographs that you've brought
share
with
so
me.
That's and my only solace.
Oh, yeah.
That is my only solace when going is taking a picture or two, but that's more or less in the fall.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I'm a fall.
Mm-hmm.
as in I hate it out there in the summer, mm-hmm. because first of all, hot. And? I think we've established that I enjoy the AC. Mm-hmm. And then after that, bugs.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's no bugs in the house. Mm-hmm. And it's cool.
There you go.
I enjoy.
And when it rains?
That's fine, too. I'm inside. but I enjoy the fall into the winter, beginning parts of winter, and because no bugs, and also not hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
me. But tell me about the photography part.
There's times when I've been out there and I thought, my gosh, it's hot out here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
How can it be this hot? Well, just because, I guess.
There are some places on this earth that...
There are places that I need to go, need to do things mm-hmm. in the summer.
Yeah, but I want to get on to...
But if I could hold them off until the fall time...
It's better.
I'd be happier.
Yeah. A photograph that you gave me as a gift is... Do you remember that?
What, me giving you a gift?
No, the photograph.
Fondly. I remember them fondly, Douglas.
Because this one, you must have been lying on your tummy taking a photograph of these beautifully colored mushrooms.
Yeah. No,
the fungus. The fungus is in such perfect focus that every time I go by that picture on the wall at home, I stop and look at it. And sometimes the morning sunlight streaming in the window, you know, it's in the piano room, which
fungus. Yeah, mushrooms. I found those. Not in the woods, not in the forest, not in
where
anywhere.
Did you find?
I found it like at it was Walmart.
No, in Walmart?
In the parking lot.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
It was off to the side and I had some time.
Uh-huh.
It was getting dark. So the what do you call it? The night light.
Oh, the big parking lot lights.
Parking lights.
Okay.
Well, not parking lights, but parking lot lights were mm-hmm. up. And that's
what lit them up. Wow.
Yeah, mystery is out.
Oh, now
magic
I have to look at it
gone.
In a different way. I'm thinking that you were catching sort of the late afternoon sunlight.
Oh, sorry, there was that too. There was that because I guess maybe I thought that this, maybe it was just the sunlight. Maybe it was just the setting of the sunlight.
Because that's what,
been a long time.
Some of the morning light streaming in, it's this.
I've never been to that Walmart
light
again.
And on this photograph, and I think, wow, isn't that a spectacular photo? It's one I appreciate, and that's many years now. We've been doing this show for 31 years, almost 32 now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And, and it was a good 20 years ago that you gave that to me.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. No,
around
that.
Long. Yeah, no? What's the date?
So.
Do you have it in your phone?
The date?
Yeah.
I didn't shoot it with my phone.
Oh, good. That's what I was worried about. You're going to tell me it's something you talk with your phone.
No.
No. Okay, no. So this is one of the conversations that I did have with some of their listeners 2 weeks ago, was about doing photographing. That you love doing photographs, so maybe we'll do something in August about photographing.
It's kind of a love-hate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, yes.
You know what it is.
So
it's love-hate.
But here's the question.
You maybe do enjoy the process, but you sometimes hate the outcome.
Do you want to do something to do with photography in August? For people, say
possibly.
The second or third week.
I'll go with a possibly.
All right.
Probably. I don't know. We can do that.
All right. We'll think of a theme we can do and then come up with ideas and share that with people. Talking about being outdoors. And it doesn't matter if you're in a park, a parking lot, or, you know, somewhere near the shore, whether it's the shore of a lake, big lake, small lake, medium lake. You've got some trails you've been on that show me beautiful, beautiful photographs, you know.
I have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been on some.
You're hiding things from our listeners. Yeah, okay, that's fine. So we're gonna work on this for August.
All right.
Now I'll get you to take at least one. You've taken me all over the Queen's campus taking pictures.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, that would be of architecture.
Well,
yeah, the buildings all around, and yeah, and some of the colorful skies with the buildings. Okay, so we're all set to eat. The baked beans are ready.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'll get you. Well, we'll serve up a bowl for you.
Small bowl.
Your baked potatoes just look fantastic. You spend a fair bit of time getting. You just slice them open and put a little
cream. There you go. Put a bit of that in there.
Sour cream on
it? I go with the butter first.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I just do.
Did you mash the butter in or just leave it there?
No, you mash the potato before you put the butter in.
Okay.
Then you let it sit. You let it melt.
Mm-hmm.
And you maybe work it around a bit. And then you throw in some of that there, sour cream, and put the bacon in there.
Oh.
Bacon bits, like...
It all smells
bacon.
Good around here.
Yeah.
And then I've
good
got
times.
The salmon
sometimes
cakes ready to go.
Sometimes you have to, but not often. A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper.
Okay. And just for a special, I made a special lavender
tea. Some would say cayenne.
Tea. Not lavender, Labrador tea.
Lavender tea.
No.
Okay.
You can have lavender tea, but I don't like it.
You can have it if you want.
No, Labrador tea.
Tastes like perfume.
You get it just before it turns into perfume. Yeah.
There is an energy drink out there.
Yeah.
We used to pound them back during a powwow weekend in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's a very popular brand, and I always think that whenever I try this, which I haven't in years, I had to quit.
Oh.
But anyways, I always thought it's like drinking perfume.
Oh, not good. We don't want you doing that.
Well, it was helpful. It was helpful at the time, but no, it that's what it was like. Maybe there's people out there who have also had this energy drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a can, cylindrical, and I don't know. That's what I always get. Without saying too much more, and I'm not even saying that it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that I always have the impression that it's perfume. And they have like some very amusing commercials on the TV. Do you know the TV,
no,
Doug?
No, I don't know. No, unless it, no. Unless they play it halfway through
unless
a hockey game.
Unless you can plug it into
something.
A tree. You don't watch the TV?
No. Not much.
All right.
All right. So I have a song for you.
Okay.
Since you told me all about digging roots again.
Yeah.
We are.
Okay.
You ready for that?
Yep.
Here we go. This is Shoshana and Raven. They are the Digging Roots. And we are.
Let the water flow again. We remember we are kinetic force and potency. We are the ones born into this time to change the course, to toe the line. Oh, it is you and it is me, and only we, only we, only we.
Every day you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The charts on CFRC.
With Open Mouths, the podcast is hosted by Carnita Lilla, Associate Curator, Art of Africa at Agnes Etherington Art Center. She sits down with artists, musicians, curators, and spoken word poets to discuss the expressions of their practice. She finds out how they found their artistic voice, which life events shaped them, and who their inspirations are. Find new episodes on Digital Agnes, CFRC's website, and on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe now and join us for moving and inspiring conversations.
Hey there, Kingston. Looking for the latest in arts and culture? Join me, Ellie Sturton, Friday 3 to 4 p.m. for the Kingston Curator. Featuring interviews with artists themselves, I'll explore what's happening around town. From live music and theater to gallery shows, festivals, and more. Catch it live on CFRC 101.9 FM, stream at cfrc.ca, or listen anytime on the CFRC Podcast Network. The Kingston Curator, your backstage pass to Kingston's creative scene.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbor Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
World is experiencing a climate change crisis. There is hope. An ecological wonder, helping to regulate the Earth's water cycle and prevent soil erosion. Grasslands. By conserving grasslands, Canada draws on the power of nature to tackle climate change and reduce biodiversity loss. Discover more nature-based climate solutions and see nature as something new. A message from the Government of Canada.
Kristen Buckley, it's great to have you back here at Aboriginal Voices, and actually to be able to do this live instead of virtual one. Mm-hmm. So we're having fun with that. Now, a couple of years ago, while you were a student at school, mm-hmm. you were given a project, I think, in one of the classes that talks a bit about the power of place, or you know, your place in describing it. Mm-hmm. So can you give us a background on that first, and then we'll let you share your essay?
Sure, yeah. This was an activity in my second year, or second semester, actually, of my program. And there was a class of 12 of us, and this assignment was based on like place-based learning and including the place that you're learning in your curriculum. And so this was a group project. All 12 of us wrote a story from our own experience. And we put it together and we called the paper A Kaleidoscope of Place. We're all from different places, from the U.S., from out east, and from cities, from countries. And so it was a really neat project to put together. And so I have my piece of it here. So I've just titled it My Place in Curriculum. Okay, so this story starts with a quote from Cynthia Chambers, who writes a lot about place in curriculum. And it goes, "Our first challenge will be to name where we are and what it looks and feels like to be in this place." This story takes place in my grandma's kitchen, when the room is filled with steam and the sweet aroma of cooked corn. Peaches and cream corn, to be exact. Cobs with white and yellow kernels, harvested at just the right time when the kernels are tender and syrupy before they grow large and chalky. Milk crate after milk crate of corn is harvested by my grandfather from the rows of corn planted in his black soil garden. Soil envied by every passerby on the highway. Soil that has graced the cover of magazines because of its dark color and observable nutrient richness. The milk crates are brought to the cement step of the back porch where the sunshine is unhindered and where my job is to husk the corn. I perfect my technique after half a crate. One, don't pull on too many husks at once or they'll get stuck. Don't pull on too few or it will take too long. Two, try to get the silks to come off with a husk or they'll stick to everything. Three, use a pocket knife to flick off the slimy, gross earworms. Once husked, the crates are carried into that wonderfully warm kitchen where large pots of boiling water sit on the stove, cooking the corn and making the air humid. My mom and grandmother stand at the counter, their backs to me, cutting the kernels off the cobs with sharp knives, using impressive speed that I will never match. A rhythm emerges in the process. Four swift cuts turn, four more cuts turn until the ear is clean. Slurch, 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 turn. Slurch, 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 turn. My other job is to spoon the cut-off kernels into milk bags that have been sliced open at the top and washed. Sometimes the corn is still too hot to touch, but somehow the heat did not deter my mom from doing her job. The bags are only to be half-filled, then closed with a twist tie. Dozens of bags of corn are put away, in other words, frozen, so we can eat our deliciously sweet homegrown corn all winter. Each bag is counted and the tally is bragged about. The number of bags done up seems to prove our system operates like a well-oiled machine. Hard work is always a cause of pride in our family. This scene from my childhood repeats itself today, though now my grandmother takes a position of observation and my young children attempt to husk the corn. I spend most of my time keeping them out of trouble while supporting my mom and grandfather in whatever way I can. Less corn is grown these days and less corn is put away, but the tradition carries on. My grandmother's kitchen, the back step, the black soil garden, the place, is the foundation for the story. It advised the crop that was grown. It determined the skills and lessons learned. It assisted in shaping and forming our collective memories and the traditions passed on. This lived curriculum deserves the label curriculum as much as the curriculum as planned deserves the label curriculum. Place is central to lived curriculum. A pot of water, an ear of corn, a knife, and a bag are all that are needed to put away corn. These required materials can easily be printed on a sheet of paper along with a few instructions. But without acknowledgement of the place, the lessons, the memories, and the traditions don't seem to matter much. Place needs to be central to planned curriculum too. Cynthia Chambers challenges curriculum theorists to understand that topographies from which they write is the physical, imaginary, and social-political landscapes they share with the communities and children on behalf of whom they work and write. We must do our best to acknowledge what place contributes to each of our own lived curriculum, and we must do our best to reserve space for place in our planned curriculum as well. I'm Kristen Buckley, and that's my story of how place has been a part of my curriculum. How might you share a memory of how place has mattered in your learning?
things that I love about spending time in the woods is that when you start to become really attuned to all the beings that are around you, you realize that they're here for a reason. You can look at the woods and start to see stories that are present in the woods.
Bonjour, Shabadaske Gish Kokoy Nadeshmakas. Budwe wad mi koyenda, megazedo dem, minwa makoto dem. In our beautiful Potawatomi language, I've introduced myself. I am Robin Wall Kimmerer, Anishinaabe woman, member of the Bear Clan and of the Eagles, and member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation. I am a professor of environmental biology at the SUNY College of Environmental Science and Forestry here in Syracuse, New York. I'm a botanist, a plant ecologist, and also the director of the Center for Native Peoples and the Environment. I chose for us to meet here at the Clark Reservation State Park in Jamesville, New York, because at this time of year when the snow has just begun to melt and spring is thinking about arriving, this is one of the best places to see those first signs of spring. You know, right here it comes to mind, we're walking on this path and this little evergreen vine here, you think, oh, well, yeah, that's nice and green on the ground. But in fact, this is telling us a story. This, and you can see the way it's just one patch of this. This tells us that this was an old home site. This is a little periwinkle vine. It's an exotic species, doesn't really belong in the woods, and yet it's part of the story of the place because it's telling us that there were people here before who valued this plant and they put it here and it has survived. The park was made here because it's spectacular geological formation. This is beautiful limestone ledges and sculpted pavements of limestone where the glacier passed over here and created a huge waterfall which created the lake, scoured out the limestone, and there's so many plants that love to live on that damp limestone. So it's a favorite place of mine to come and teach and come in and watch the unfolding of the season. You look around you and it's not just an assemblage of trees and green things, but it's a whole story. You know, as I'm walking around here, I do love to pay attention to the little things, but this time of year, when there aren't any leaves out and the flowers aren't up yet, you get to really see all of the textures and colors of the place. You know, back here is another tree that's telling a story. Look at this. This is a shagbark hickory right here with those great big platy bark on it. And, you know, when you see that, you know something about the history of this place. Its nuts, which are delicious, only grows in bright sun in open places. So this tells you that this is not an old forest. This is a young forest coming back from some kind of disturbance. It also tells you when you see shagbark hickories, this is the place to be in the fall. Delicious food from the hickory nuts, a really important traditional food of indigenous peoples in this habitat. This piece of land is part of the ancestral and the contemporary territories of the Onondaga Nation, the central fire of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. And this state park is a favorite of residents of Syracuse. There are miles of hiking trails and it's great birding and botanizing. So it's a place which is well loved by residents of the region. One of the reasons I love to bring my students here is these beautiful mossy ledges that all of this limestone was scraped bare by the glacier. And without any soil on it, for the most part, the rooted plants can't grow. And then it makes these gorgeous habitats for all of the mosses. And you might at first just look around you and say, okay, there's a green carpet on the rocks. But
when your eye starts to become tuned and you use all of your senses, you realize that there's no such thing as just moss. It's mosses. There's all these different kinds. And I mean, just look in here. And the thousand shades of green. There's the bright lime green and the rusty orange green and the browny green and the bright grass green, the shiny ones, the dull ones. Every one of them is a different species. And it starts to just draw you in closer and closer to see how they live their lives. They're just amazing. I come to this place often, and particularly as a teaching landscape, because it's a place where the geology and the botany and the birds and the people all come together. And it's a place to be able to teach natural history, ecology, and cultural relationship as well. You know, for me, all of the plants are teachers. They have things that we could learn from them. And the mosses are the oldest plants on Earth. And if you look at the fossils of mosses and you look at contemporary mosses, they haven't changed very much. So what we're talking about here is that the oldest plants on the planet are right here. And that means that these plants that have existed since plants even came onto the land have endured every climate change that has ever happened on Earth. They have endured when most organisms have gone extinct. The mosses have endured. So you have to look at these and say, well, how did you do it? What lessons do you have for us, mosses, about how we could live? How do we adapt, and how are we resilient in the face of the changes that are upon us? One of the answers that the mosses have for you is simplicity. They ask very little of their environment, and they give a lot back. It may just look like a green blanket, but they're harboring so much biodiversity. They're called the coral reef of the forest for all the little critters that live in these tiny little moss forests. They make soil, they purify water, they create habitats for others. They give a lot and don't take much. They live simply. They don't change the environment. They live within the environment. And so then we ask ourselves, well, how did they persist through every climate change that has ever been on the planet? Well, that's how. Being small, adaptable, and not changing the environment, but adapting to the environment. A place like this is an opportunity to really listen to the land and really slow down and watch and engage with the life unfolding around you. And that practice, that muscle, if you will, of paying attention to the land and learning from the land is something that we have started to lose because of all the time we spend on digital media, all the time we spend inside. I fear that we're forgetting how to really engage with the land, to listen and to learn from the land as our teacher. But the good thing about that is that all you have to do is be in the presence of that teacher. All you have to do is be outside and pay attention and open all of your senses to the world around you. And those skills and abilities are latent. They're waiting to be woken up. So all it takes is the time and that beautiful gift of human attention. Oh, look, here's these nice ribbon leaf sedges. They're evergreen under the snow. But oh look, there's the new growth of these ribbon leaf sedges coming. They're some of the earliest to come up. Oh, and you can just feel how warm those leaves are. Even though there was snow here just a couple of days ago, that southern exposure and the sun is warming things right up. This beautiful tree really calls to me because in our language, this is a basswood, also known as the American linden. And the basswood in our language we call wingo, which is the string tree. And in the underneath the bark, there are these sheets of fibers that our people routinely would harvest to use as cordage,
as rope and twine for tying everything together, for weaving into fabrics and bags and containers. So it's a tree that you really like to see in the forest. You might just walk by it and say, well, you know, it's just a big old gray tree, but in fact it bears these amazing gifts. In fact, I like this tree so much. It has these beautiful fragrant flowers in the springtime. It's such a generous and beautiful tree that I named my daughter after this tree. Her name is Lyndon. So I didn't name her Basswood. That wouldn't be a very pretty name. But as a professor, I try to get my students out onto the land just as often as I can. Sometimes we're indoors. We're learning online, of course, this year, and learning from books. That's all good. But there is absolutely no replacement for learning from the land herself. You learn, you know, to exercise all of your faculties, not just the intellect, right? Not just your mental powers of learning how the world is, but to feel how the world is, to sense it, to develop a relationship with the living world. We know that we learn so much better when we're engaging our memories, when we're engaging story, when we're engaging our aesthetic senses. And I'm sorry, but that just doesn't happen so much in a textbook. And so to me, the place to learn to be a biologist, to learn to be a naturalist, is on the land. And once you come to know the different beings that are around you, you see not only stories, but the way that the land cares for you. Just standing in this place, I see the food of the hickory, the food of the maples, the string of the basswood, and I see medicine right here in front of us. That black flaky bark is a black cherry. And did you ever wonder why cough drops almost always come in black cherry flavor? It's because black cherry is a cough medicine. And the bark of the twigs of that tree boiled down make a really good soothing cough medicine. And so, yes, you look at the world as full of biodiversity and these amazing beings living their lives, but they also are in relationship with us. And you see the cedars, really good respiratory medicine. We'll get close to one later. We came by a hemlock, which is super good for colds. It has tons of vitamin C in it. So they're medicines. They're medicines all around us to be honored, to be respected. And in fact, in our Potawatomi language, the word for plants is mishkakin, which means the medicines, but it also means, if you take that word mishkakin apart, it means the strength of the earth. And so when we talk about plants healing us, they're healing us with the strength of the earth. And to feel that and to feel all those gifts that are all around you makes the woods into a very different place. The Potawatomi language, which is the language of my ancestors and which I am a beginning student, is full of sounds that to me sound like the land. There's lots of double consonants, zhuzz and shuzz, that sound just like the wind that's surrounding us. There are sounds that are like waves on rocks. And so it's a language that to me sounds like the sounds of the natural world. And our language, we say, is sacred to the people, because it was a gift to us. You know, when we talk about the stories that the land holds, we had a recent story. There was a homestead here. We have an ancient story right here, where the snow is lying there later than any place else in this cold, wet little drainage. Look at the cliffs up above it. This is an old plunge pool from a great river. Up here on this cliff, the river that was draining glacial Lake Iroquois came tumbling over these cliffs. And this little basin is where the power of the water carved out this little basin. And today it's filled it with water only in the springtime, and a great place for frogs and salamanders and spring peepers living in the remnants of that ancient glacial river.
One of the greatest sources of biodiversity in woods like this are, of course, the fungi, who are busy decomposing all the leaves and the wood. And on this old tree base, here is one that I think is very common and but really beautiful. It's called the turkey tail fungus, for the way it comes in these little banded, colored fans, like an expanded turkey tail. These are wood destroyers. They're busy bringing this back down to humus. And down here, you can see up here, they're, you know, gray and rusty. And down here where they're green, these are algae that are living on top of them. So everything has its own niche, including living on others. And, you know, while this fungus, the turkey tail, is doing its work in the forest, it's also a medicine. It's a traditional medicines that is used for the immune system, for fighting off infections. That's a great one. Let's see what else we can find here. My friends and family tease me about these stories because, you know, you might previously just walk through the woods thinking, I'm just going for a hike, and I'm going to move right along. They say, Robin, when we hike with you, we don't ever get very far because you always have to stop and look at everything and say, why are you here? But it for me, makes it a really rich experience. This past couple of days, we've had warm winds from the south, and so the beginning of the songbird migration is upon us. Just yesterday, there were killdeer in the sky, and the mourning doves began singing, the robins began singing. So, this is a really special time of year to see all of those who have left us for the winter starting to come back. Whoa, look at this! This old maple has been worked by a pileated woodpecker. When you see those long oblong shapes, that tells you it's a pileated woodpecker with that really big, strong jackhammer of a beak that's been working that tree trunk to get bugs and grubs out. And whoa, it has been so busy. Look at all this, these shards down here. The whole base of the tree covered with these chunks that have been knocked out by the woodpecker. That's a good source of winter food, right? The bugs that are under the bark. Oh yeah, you can see where all the little insect holes here are too. There's some good food in there if you're a woodpecker. One of the consequences of spending time on the land and paying attention to birds and trees and berries and roots and grasses and bugs and all of the things that are around you is you start to think about the world as full of persons, of more than human persons. And that they're bringing us these gifts of the joy of watching them, the foods that they provide for us, everything that they have to teach us. In our traditional culture, we say that the chickadees are always talking to the people. They're very social birds. They come around people. They really like to be in multi-species flocks. They go about the woods with other species in this sort of convivial little gatherings. And we're told that we should always pay attention when the chickadees speak to us. And there are a lot of old stories about the chickadees talking about changes in the weather, warning people about things that are on the wind, as it were. And you know that those old stories that say that we could learn from the birds and benefit from their counsel is something that gets dismissed as fairy tales or folklore. But when you really do start to listen and hear all the different voices, chickadees, for example, have something like 40 different calls. They're not just making noise, they're talking to each other, and why not talking to us as well? A lot of the old teachings and stories are being verified, if you will, by Western science today. Not that they had to be verified, they were true all on their own. I think that once we start to see the world as gifts from more than human relatives, then it brings us to gratitude for the gifts of the land. And my hope and challenge to all of us is that as we give gratitude to the land, could we also shape our lives so that we live in such a way that the land might be grateful for us.
In the ruins, I was looking for nothing till I started drinking the fluid. The alcoholic movement got my rhyme moving and grooving, my writing even fluent. It's like the rap was my student.
Looking so damn cold outside. Remind me of the po-po.
What you mean, man?
When they beat my that night, you threw me in a chokehold.
What the?
You can't choke the life out me. Natives stand too tall like the trees I bring. They wanna cage us, lock us down. Why do you hate us? Oh Canada, why so hard on a native?
Came from the gutter, I need a reserve. Came from the gutter, we caught up in the red's life. Came from the gutter, I need we caught up in the red's life. Came from the gutter, I need a reserve. Came from the gutter, yeah, we caught up in the red's life. Came from the gutter, I need now we caught up in the red's life.
Walking along this empty dirt road, feeling confused about the life I chose. Is it ending? Am I depending on the only unknown? My name is pending, and I know it's time for me to show. Came from the gutter, I need a reserve. Came up like topics and out with the words. As the world spins freely, no one around can hear me say, I'm headed for the breakaway till the end of days.
Message like Melly Mel in the Furious Five. Broken glass everywhere, and if it sinks, survive the genocide. Sand scrolls went from 10 to 5. Had it divided, if a man froze and he died. Starlight tours, claimed as a suicide. Move aside, he kills the water for grandmothers and grandfathers. From Nipissing to my grandsons and granddaughters. Thunder beings, overseeing the land robbers.
Came from the gutter, I need a reserve. Came from the gutter,
cause we caught up in the red's life.
Came from the gutter, I need
cause we caught up in the red's life.
Came from the gutter, I need a reserve. Came from the gutter,
yeah, we caught up in the red's life.
Came from the gutter, I need
now we caught up in the red's life.
First Nations people from coast to coast mobilizing against what they call oppressive government policy.
Our people are idle no more.
I just got home from war.
Woo!
Let me tell you all about it.
About it.
Government officials and attorneys doing anything to keep the lies buried. I roam from rest to rest.
Yeah.
Shout outs to all of my Nietzsche's. Big ups to all the frontliners. The youth all the way to the elders.
Now what you know about four families under one roof? The truth, it equals depression here in Native youth. Now what you know about suicide and how high our rates climb in the age that our youth die? Now what you know about high crime rates and no employment? Drug addiction, alcoholism for their enjoyment. What you know about blind faith? Change will come. I was told to stay strong and leave it all in a song.
Came from the gutter, I need a reserve. Came from the gutter,
cause we caught up in the red's life.
Came from the gutter, I need
cause we caught up in the red's life.
Came from the gutter, I need a reserve. Came from the gutter,
yeah, we caught up in the red's life.
Came from the gutter, I need
now we caught up in the red's life.
On the ground.
From the good, caught up in the red's life.
Came from the gutter, I need a reserve.
Oh hey, Boomer Radio Guy, you're looking pretty good. Long time no see.
Stack them eights, yo-yo. Feel free to let your tongue down and hammer away with words that make you feel good.
Okay, well, I'm not really sure what that means, but now that I've seen you, I wanted to tell you, I got my own radio show. It's on Saturday mornings from 8 till 10. It's called Making Bacon.
Hey, Beaver, the place to get help is on Channel 9, and I'll do a 10-5 about that motion lotion all over this here slab.
I don't know what that means, but I don't think you should be saying stuff like that.
Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down.
Okay, whoa. Okay, look. It's just Saturday mornings from 8 until 10. Check it out. Making Bacon. CFRC 101.9.
Idle talk is a nuisance. Get out there and do it to it. Love and kisses.
G'day, I am CJ the DJ, the host of Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. I hope you can join me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Remember, put that in, Grad Chat, at 4 p.m. Tuesdays.
Grad Chat.
These are the sounds that keep it spinning.
The continuing story.